The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It's time to get up with a Philly special. Did the beer just hand out the biggest assist of his career for the Sixers? And will it change everything in the East? Plus, Kyrie's back. But is he really in a New York state of mind in Brooklyn? Would anyone else on his trade list actually want him? And fly, Eagles, fly. Wait until you hear the bold statement from their star running back. Is he right? We'll talk about that and a lot more on Get Up this morning. As we say welcome to you, I'm Ryan Smith in for Greeny. Huge day in the NBA, and that's why we've got these guys with us. Brian Windhorst, Tim Bontemps, ready to go. Jay Will's going to stop by soon. Adrian Wojnarowski is with us as well. And look at the ticker. There's Woj, and here's the ticker. Now, T-minus 9 hours, 59 minutes, and counting until we start with the Woj bombs and free agency begins. And let's start with the Woj bombs from last night. Dejounte Murray, all-star guard, heading to Atlanta to team up with Trae Young. The Hawks are sending Danilo Gallinari and three first-round picks back to San Antonio. Meanwhile, three-time all-star Bradley Beal is now an unrestricted free agent after declining his option for next season. He could sign a max deal for 5 years and nearly $250 million if he stays in D.C. And lastly, 10-time All-Star James Harden declines his $47.3 million option with the Sixers, and he is now an unrestricted free agent. And that's where we start with Woj. Woj, what should we make of this move from Harden?
Ryan, it's really an attempt by Harden to try to give Philadelphia the tools to go out and improve this Sixers team. It allows them to use their full mid-level exception at $10.5 million, a biannual exception that starts at $4 million, and also make some trades. And so I think for James Harden and the Sixers, you'll see them, you know, they can start talking now at 6 o'clock Eastern. And listen, he's going to be back in Philadelphia. They'll work out the terms of a deal. But what Harden has really talked to the Sixers about was trying to do what he could to allow Daryl Morey and Elton Brand and their front office to go out and surround he and Joel Embiid with the kind of players and the kind of toughness, physical toughness, mental toughness that they felt they lacked in the playoffs last year. They want to address that now in free agency.
All right, showing Philly the brotherly love. And, you know, that's all we wanted in Philly. We wanted a Harden who wanted to be there, and maybe he's showing that, Wendy, by doing this. What do you make of this move from Harden?
The standard that he had of the last two teams that he was on, let's just say that it wasn't difficult to surpass that. But let's be fair here. He did not have to opt out of this contract. It was in his rights to say, I will make $47 million next year. Russell Westbrook had the same option and said, I will take my $47 million. So Harden willing to do this kind of opens the door to them to replenish the depth that they lost when they traded for him. Remember, they didn't just trade for Ben Simmons. They also lost Andre Drummond. They also lost Seth Curry in that deal. So this opens up these options, and I don't think Philly will be done. We are hearing a lot about, Tobias Harris in the trade market. So even after Philly looks at addressing some holes in free agency that this new contract for Harden opens, it wouldn't surprise me if they look to do more work on their roster to build more around Harden and Embiid.
That's incredible. And for Sixers fans this morning, it's thrilling to think about the hope here. But Harden, I have to ask, a lot of it, Tim, has been with Harden. Is he more focused on himself or winning a title? Do you think he's more focused on winning a title than he's been in years past?
Well, I don't know if he's more focused or not, but I think when you look at this decision, you know, he had the option to have this money come over a period of years, right? This wasn't James Harden getting a max contract like we've talked about in the past with him. This was, he was going to get a certain amount of money over a certain period of time. Now, by making this decision, he allows the Sixers to better build a team that has a chance to win around him. So, yeah, like Brian said, he could have opted into this $47 million and gotten like maybe less money over the next couple of years, but they would have had to make moves to go get, say, a P.J. Tucker to add other pieces to this roster over the next couple of days to make the Sixers into a potential championship team in the East. But by doing this, he has, to your point, given the Sixers the best path to having the best possible team around him. And to your point, if he can actually get the Sixers over the top this year, it could really change a lot of things.
What's being left unsaid is that the Sixers weren't really crazy about paying him a full max anyway.
Yeah.
So with that already in understanding, Harden worked with the situation to make him and the team get into a comfortable position.
So, Woj, is the idea here with Harden that he we're going to see a deal come through for him for maybe a little less than the max years, a lot less than the max dollars?
Yeah, listen, it could be significantly less than annually than that 47 he just opted out of. And so they're going to have to figure out how, you know, the years on a deal and obviously the numbers. But listen, James Harden's still going to walk away with a significant contract, a significant commitment from the Sixers. But as he's doing that, again, able to use that $10.5 million mid-level exception, that $4 million biannual, which is really going to open up the doors to some players who can really help the Sixers' depth. Certainly, you know, one player, as Brian mentioned, that they're really targeting at that mid-level exception, P.J. Tucker.
Yeah, you know, I woke up with a good feeling about this because the one thing Philadelphia fans love is somebody who wants to be there, who's willing to sacrifice for the team. And I think when Harden came, there was this expectation that he would be this top 10 talent. That didn't happen. He was a very different player. And the fear was, Brian, that he would now be selfish and take that money and leave the Sixers in a lurch. He did the exact opposite. And I think for Philly today, there's a feeling of, hey, you know what? This guy not only wants to be here, but he actually wants to win a title here.
Right. It's one thing to average 22 points, 10 assists, and 7 rebounds and be felt like you're overpaid. It's another thing to have those same averages and feel like you're helping the team. His production is the same, but the narrative around him is different.
Yeah.
And in places like Philadelphia, that's going to affect the way he lives day to day.
Yes.
He watched how it was viewed with Ben Simmons. So, okay, in a perfect world, he would have got the $200 million today like some of his peers in the league are. There's going to be a bunch of guys in the next 24 to 48 hours signing for $200 million. Okay, he's not going to be one of them, but when he goes around in Philadelphia these next few months, it's going to feel different, and that's kind of what today is about. And by the way, there are a lot of guys who reached the situation and maybe should have thought about doing this and didn't.
Yeah.
So I think while this is also recognition that Harden's career is in a different spot, he should be at least acknowledged for recognizing it and taking action.
So when you talk about people in Philly and how they respond to things, or you talk about toughness, as Adrian said, P.J. Tucker is the embodiment of that. Joel Embiid spent 2 minutes after they lost to Miami in Game 6 of the conference semifinals talking about how the Sixers have never had a guy exactly like P.J. Tucker. You add him, potentially. You add DeAnthony Melton, who they got in a trade last week, who has all those qualities. Sixers fans are going to love that about this team.
And by the way, Harden was active in recruiting P.J. Tucker. Not only structuring his contract to make money for him, they were teammates in Houston before. He was out there. Because, by the way, the Heat, and it's still not over, but the Heat wanted to keep P.J. Tucker. Mm-hmm. Other teams wanted P.J. Tucker. Other teams are bidding. So Harden, not only with his money, but also with recruiting, I think, is helping at this point.
I'm loving this. Woj, give us the final word on Harden. I can't tell you how good I feel this morning.
This is a Philly guy who's reacting exactly how they want to
exactly. React. Woj, I'll give you the last word.
Yeah, and I think, you know, a part of this is James Harden's relationship with Daryl Morey, the Sixers president. Obviously, they were together in Houston. He was hell-bent on acquiring James Harden. He finally did it prior to the trade deadline. And Tad Brown, who's essentially the CEO in Philadelphia, he was also in Houston with James Harden. So I do think those relationships, and I think the trust level among them has been helpful as James Harden has had to navigate this free agency decision.
I can't say I was a Harden fan after the end of the playoffs. I am definitely one now. Okay, Woj, let's go around the league on some other big free agency news stories. What's the latest on Bradley Beal?
Yeah, Bradley Beal declined his option yesterday, and now he becomes an unrestricted free agent. All signs point, certainly, to a return in Washington. He's eligible for a 5-year, $250 million deal. And listen, he has professed his loyalty to that organization, to that community and city. And, you know, you saw yesterday Tommy Shepard, their GM, go out and get Will Barton, Monte Morris from the Denver Nuggets, bring some veterans into that locker room and some leadership. Will Barton has a great impact on locker rooms, and I think he'll be really helpful in Washington.
How about the former number one pick, DeAndre Ayton?
He's headed for likely a sign-and-trade, Ryan. He's a restricted free agent. Phoenix can match any offer sheet he signs out there, but they've made it pretty clear. They just, well, I think they value DeAndre Ayton. They don't value him at a max number. It's about salary allocation, and they're going to put money in other places and not necessarily into the center position, but there are plenty of teams in the marketplace who would like DeAndre Ayton on a max deal. And so those conversations will start this evening. And you'll see, I think, Phoenix in the end, and this is how teams who are pursuing him feel, you know, there's going to be a sign and trade where they get some kind of an asset or assets in Phoenix, and they can do a deal that gets DeAndre Ayton to his max number in a trade.
Wow, you wonder where he ends up. At first, we thought it might be Detroit. Maybe not now after that recent trade they had with the Knicks, which brings me to Jalen Brunson. What's going on there?
Yeah, the Knicks now can make an offer to Jalen Brunson this evening. 4 years, $110 million, the neighborhood of that. There's a lot of connections, a lot of history between Jalen Brunson and Knicks leadership, some really long and deep relationships. And clearly the Knicks have a lot of confidence that they can acquire Jalen Brunson. They cleared out $30 million in cap space. They had to use some picks and assets to get there. And clearly I think they do it with a confidence that they're going to be able to sign Jalen Brunson to a massive deal, and that's a big hit to the Dallas Mavericks. He is not easily replaceable in the backcourt with Luka Doncic.
Okay, so maybe the Knicks get their man. Maybe that makes them, does that make them into a playoff team? We shall see. Woj, thank you so much. I know you're getting ready for a big day. Your phone is charged up. We can't wait to see all the Woj bombs that come today, my friend. Thank you so much. But let's go to baseball with this highlight. Showtime. Angels hosting the White Sox. Shohei Ohtani on the mound. Came in out allowing just one earned run in his past three starts. And here he is. Yoan Moncada taking him down with the splitter. Luis Robert with the splitter. And then Gavin Sheets. Can you solve him? No. All strikeouts, all on splitters. Bottom half of the inning, Mike Trout at bat. One on, no outs. And look at him hitting the breaking ball in the gap off Michael Kopech. Taylor Ward comes around to score. His 17th double of the year. Astros lead it 1-0. And then Shohei, just dealing in this one. Top of the fourth, two outs. Angels up 2-0, trying to get out of a bases-loaded jam, and he does it. Strikes out Josh Harrison on the slider, fired up. Eighth strikeout of the night for him. Top six, same score, one on, one out. Sheets, are you going down? Yep. On the slider, Ohtani, 5 2/3 innings, 11 strikeouts. The Angels win it 4-1. Ohtani has seemingly made every highlight in the month of June, but it's been on the mound where he has really excelled. He currently has a 21 2/3 active score innings, active scoreless streak going on the mound in his last four starts, where he's 4-0 with an ERA of 0.34. How about that? Well, coming up, there is confidence, and then there's overconfidence. Eagles star making a bold statement about how good his team is. You'll hear it next. Plus, as free agency gets underway, LeBron is facing a huge decision of his own this summer, and it could change everything for the Lakers. We'll discuss as Get Up continues on this big day in the NBA.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Get Up is brought to you by the Lexus ES, a direct reflection of you. Let's go to the NFL. Booger, I want to show you some eye candy. Check out this painting that Odell Beckham Jr. commissioned. It shows OBJ as a Ram picking up OBJ as a Brown with some meteors flying through the sky. Is this something we could envision in your home, you picking up yourself?
Yeah, you know, Ryan, I'm a man that likes to hang a nice piece of art, not just pictures of myself, but this picture has so many meanings. Think about this. OBJ with the Browns was down. OBJ with the Rams won the Super Bowl. So I'm going to go back and I'm going to pick my brother up and bring him with me. So many. You know, the old saying, a picture's worth a thousand words. This picture here, honestly, could be worth more than that.
I like that. Oh, okay. You got me sold on this. At first, I wasn't so sure. Now I'm on board. That's the booger effect right here. And by the way, we're going to bring him back in because we're going streaking. Little shout out to the movie Old School. Booger. Will Aaron Rodgers continue his MVP streak for a third straight year?
Aaron Rodgers will play like an MVP, but he will not win the MVP. I think that's going to Josh Allen of the Buffalo Bills. He's been trending that way, and I think the Bills are going to have a monster year, and if that's the case, Josh Allen has to be outstanding, and I think he will be.
Yeah, I can't see him winning three in a row, and Allen is amazing. Jeremy, will the Chiefs win the AFC West for the seventh straight season?
Ryan, the Chiefs are going streaking over past the quad right over to AFC West Championship land. They've won at least 12 games every year with Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes together. That battery will get it done. They will miss Tyreek Hill, but will still be highly effective on offense getting it done. The Chargers will push them as far as roster strength. They're right there with Kansas City, but the Chiefs will eke it out.
Jeremy Fowler buying the Chiefs. Okay, Booger, will the NFC East have a new division winner for the 19th straight year?
No, I think the Cowboys are going to win it. And people are going to continue to say, yeah, but they're not the best team in that division. I think they are. I think they got the best quarterback in that division in Dak Prescott. For some reason, everybody on ESPN seems to be down on Dak. Not really sure why. I think Dak is going to have an outstanding year. And even though they're going to do it a little bit differently, I think the Cowboys win the NFC East this year.
Okay, well, I'll tell you, the Eagles are hoping to prove you wrong. They're hoping to continue that streak by winning the division. And guys, check this out. Recently, Philly running back Miles Sanders told CBS Sports this. Oh, man, we feel like we're on an all-star team. We feel unstoppable. I'm not going to lie. Look, guys, as the eternal Philly pessimist, I'm going to say it feels like a lie. But let me step out of it. Booger, are the Eagles unstoppable?
Well, listen, hopefully he's seen the clip when Vince Young said, dream team. Remember that? We've seen that before. And how did that work out for the Eagles? They're going to be really, really good. The offensive line is going to be outstanding. A lot of this is going to hinge on Jalen Hurts. But as far as the Eagles being unstoppable, listen, it's the end of June. It's almost 4th of July weekend. Everybody feels good right now. Jacksonville feels like they're unstoppable. So, yeah, I'm going to allow him to feel that way because if he doesn't, who will? But let's be realistic. I don't even know if they're the best team in their division, let alone unstoppable.
Yeah, and you know what? Can we put up that Vince Young clip? Let's put up that if we can because that's just hilarious when you refer to that. But I have to say, I appreciate the optimism, especially in a town like Philly from Miles Sanders. I kid when I say it feels like a lie. I love his attitude. But, Jeremy, what are you hearing around the league about the expectations for this team?
Well, Ryan, I just talked to a few people around the league who said, look, the Eagles could win that division. They're talented enough to do it. They built pretty good roster strength, but they're going to pump the brakes a little bit on being an all-star team. If we're talking, you know, best rosters in the NFL, like the Rams or the Bills, not quite there. But if they can win the division, certainly have enough to get it done. They just need a few more pieces. But this is a team that's built for now and the future. Whether Jalen Hurts is the long-term answer or not, they have flexibility with multiple first-round picks next year and a really good roster top to bottom.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And so, Booger, we talk about an all-star team. How much pressure does that put on Jalen Hurts to be an all-star player?
Well, there's a ton of pressure on him because, you know, before you can be a dream team or an all-star team, you first have to have a team that's solidified now and going forward. And we don't know what Jalen Hurts is going to be. He got a lot better last year. I'll give him credit. But he still needs to continue improving as a passer. We know what he is as a runner. He is outstanding. He is dynamic. He is make you miss, run over you in the open field. But in this league, I don't care who you are, whether it's Jalen Hurts, Lamar Jackson, Kyler Murray, you have to throw the football consistently from the pocket in order for your team to win and win at a high level. And he's still got to prove that he can do that.
And we will see if he can prove that this season. All right, thanks, guys. Let's turn to another quarterback in the league, Browns quarterback Deshaun Watson. His disciplinary hearing before Judge Sue Robinson will continue today. Watson has been accused by 25 women of actions ranging from sexual assault to inappropriate behavior during massage sessions. Want to bring back in Jeremy Fowler. Jeremy, what's the latest in this situation?
Well, the hearing takes on day three today. Could wrap up. Sue L. Robinson is running the show on this hearing where the NFLPA, the union, Deshaun Watson have their lawyers. They'll make their case while the NFL lawyers will make their case that this should be a lengthy suspension. So it could be a decision this week, but the fact they went to a third day on the hearing could draw this out a little bit longer. Robinson could also ask for more information, more documentation, which could draw this out even further. But either way, definitely a decision maybe even in the next week or so, definitely before training camp is the expectation.
Okay, that's the expectation, and I wouldn't be surprised if Sue Robinson requested more information, needed more time. This is a case of first impression for her in terms of being in this role. So sometimes you want to give people an ample chance to provide information so you can make the decision. We'll see how that plays out. All right, thanks, Jeremy. Well, coming up, to James Harden just hand out the biggest assist of his career. Are the Sixers about to be the favorites in the East? Plus, LeBron facing a huge decision of his own on his future in L.A. What should he do? Jay Williams joins the conversation next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
What a day here on Get Up. We are counting down to the start of free agency, 6 Eastern, 9.5 hours from now. Jay Williams is here.
Yes, and Wendy's been working 3 days straight.
Yes, and you're playing a game of fact or fiction. Okay, so let's start with this, Jay. The Hawks are now contenders in the East after acquiring DeJounte Murray.
No, not contenders. I still like the Boston Celtics, Milwaukee Bucks, a lot of other teams more so than I like the Atlanta Hawks. But I do like the way the Hawks are going. And I think that Trae Young has played most of his career off the ball. I do like what this backcourt brings to the table.
If you're not a contender with Trae Young and DeJounte Murray, it shows how tough the East is.
Wow. Yeah. I can't believe they're not a contender. But Bradley Beal is now a free agent. Deserves a 5-year, $250 million contract.
Yeah, he deserves a supermax. It will be interesting to see when the CBA comes up in 2023, 2024, if Adam Silver and owners push to change for it. Look, if you sign a supermax, that's great. But you have to be here for the remainder of your deal terms. And if you decide not to, then you're foregoing your contract. Can't force your way out.
Okay, here's another one for you. The Sixers will end up as favorites in the East because James Harden declined his $47 million player option.
Philly show today. I wonder why.
Favorites in East.
Fact or fiction?
I would still say I think the Boston Celtics are probably the favorite in the East, but I think they are damn near close. And I think that James Harden will actually be on a mission to prove a lot of people wrong, considering the way he played last year.
Okay, so let's stop down on this because this is the big topic of the day right now.
What? Shocking, you talking about Philly.
Come on, it's not just about me talking about Philly.
Eagles, Sixers.
I didn't put the Eagles in the show.
What else are they going to say?
Hey, look, if the teams are good and they make news, we have to talk about them, right,
folks? I just want Miles Sanders to score a touchdown first.
Well, what do you make, let me ask you this, what do you make of what Harden is doing?
So Wendy brought up a great point about him showing the effort to buy in. And one of the things that I think is easy to say about James Harden is, well, his whole career he's been selfish. And Wendy alluded to how many times he's turned down money. Now, I'm not saying there aren't some questions around after games and things of that sort, conditioning. But damn, like, you haven't heard anything from James Harden since he kind of went out on bad terms the last time they lost in the playoff game. So him working on his conditioning, him turning down money, right? He's still going to make a lot of money, but to show, let's get guys like PJ Tucker. I really think this is going to be a breakout season, and we will be talking about James Harden differently when it's all said and done with the Philadelphia 76ers.
To your point, J-Will, at the end of game 6, when they lost to Miami, James Harden went out of his way to say, I'm going to do what it takes to make this team into a winning team. And that was talking about his contract status. Like he has backed that up. He has come back, and by opting out of this deal, taking a little less money now, it's allowed this team to be better than it would have been otherwise.
That was not the narrative around James Harden before this year. So is James Harden a changed man in some way?
I think it all just still depends on what he's going to do on the court when we get to November. That's the way he's going to be judged. But I will say two things. One, before he got injured with that hamstring, when he first came to Brooklyn, he put up great numbers. And then last year, even though he wasn't clearly himself, he still put up good numbers. There is still an excellent player there. If you don't expect him to be an MVP, it changes your viewpoint of him. So he is going to maybe reset where he's going to be. He's still going to be very productive. And hopefully the help that he'll have on this roster next season will make his dominance less important to the Sixers to be successful.
I'm not a subscriber to this whole thing of you can't go out and hang out after games and things of that sort. Like, I think it's kind of salacious.
Well, hanging out is one thing. Agreed, hanging out a lot is another.
But I think there's a level of awareness, right? So there was a video of him that surfaced online about him going out. And typically when you see him out, James is posing. He's saying, what's up, right? He was like, yo, nah. Like, put down the – like, I'm – like, there's a – like, to me, like, that level of awareness is like, oh, okay, like, there's something for me to prove, then let me keep perpetuating this narrative.
I think that's interesting. Do you think he's worried about his legacy?
I think everybody's worried about their legacy when it's all said and done.
No, but I mean for him, more
Wendy,
so than
Wendy's
in the past.
Me this really
his number
interesting
was retired
smart.
At strip clubs in Houston. I think the man had some good time.
I mean, I know
can
a lot
we just
of
say
NBA,
that again?
I know a lot of NBA players that would have their numbers retired at strip
hey,
clubs,
listen,
Wendy.
I'm not comparing.
Who are elite level comparing. Players. So like for me, it's
we are what, actually,
how are you winning a championship? Like that's the missing link. For him, he won a championship, and I feel like he is best suited to do that in Philadelphia with Joel Embiid.
And with P.J. Tucker, yeah. And with De'Anthony Melton,
agreed.
And with Tyrese Maxey. Like, this is a situation that is set up for James Harden to succeed, right? This team is going to be better. He's not the best player. He's playing with Joel Embiid, who might be the best player on the planet. He just has to do his part, and he's doing his part today. He has to do his part next season.
Ultimately, what you do on the court matters. Actions
agreed.
Matter than
mm-hmm.
Actions matter than IG. Actions matter that in a lot of ways more than your contract. His actions on the court will define what his situation is.
So you said they didn't. You said they're not the favorites to you in the East. Where do they stack up in the East?
Tim has talked about this over the last couple of days. There is no perfect team in the East. All of these teams are flawed. So it's going to come down to health. It's going to come down to chemistry. It's going to come down to, you know, who's able to potentially make moves during the season and improve them. But as you look at that, I mean, I can't even tell you what the best bet is. I could even argue with you that the best bet today would probably be the 76ers at 6-1 there. Mm. Any of those teams, and especially in the top four, the Heat I'm not so sure about, but any of those teams in the top four, you could make a compelling case, assuming the Nets don't explode, which there's a different set of odds for that. Is any of those four teams, from a talent standpoint, you could argue, you could throw the dice and say any of those could win.
I think Bobby Portis opting out is a low-key interesting story for the Bucks, just considering their depth, right? And the role that he played in them winning a championship when they did have P.J. Tucker on that team.
He'll be back, I bet.
Yeah, we'll see.
Well, we'll see. This East is still good tight. I still can't believe Vegas has got the Nets second best odds, but that's how Vegas rolls with the Nets. All right, so let's run the floor. Got so many big names that are on the verge of getting paid. Wendy, start us off.
Okay, so we potentially have one of the biggest contracts for a young player in the game with Devin Booker. He became eligible for a Supermax when he made first team All-NBA. He's going to get that Supermax in the next few days. Excess of $200 million. Going to be locked into the to the Suns for the foreseeable future.
Another guy who's going to get locked into a Supermax in the next few days, or a few hours maybe, is Karl Anthony Towns. Going to get the same contract, four-year Supermax extension for over $200 million with the Minnesota Timberwolves. He and my man Ant-Man, Anthony Edwards, the most exciting young player in the league, maybe with Ja Morant. There's a lot of exciting times in Minnesota, and they're very happy that they're going to have Karl Towns there for a while.
Let me tell you what is amazing. We got a two-time MVP who's about to extend, and there's no drama. Nikola Jokic is going to sign, how about in excess of $250 million over the next few days when he decides to get out of the horse track and actually sign the contract, because he's hanging with his horses right now and getting paid. And here's the thing.
This guy is
committed.
Well, and by the way, we go from maybe the most boring player among superstars in the league to the most exciting one in Ja Morant. He is going to get a Supermax extension tonight. The Memphis Grizzlies will offer it to him. He will accept it. And he is going, as we've seen, he is one of the most exciting young players in the league. He is the face of maybe the most exciting team in the league, in the Memphis Grizzlies. He'll be doing a lot more of that in Memphis for a long time.
Wow, we're talking about close to, and my math isn't great, close to $1 billion in extensions being handed out today alone is what we're talking about.
Way over a billion.
For those four guys.
Yeah.
Those four guys, it's almost a billion.
By the way, for all the people out there, like, oh, look at these players. They make so much. How much are their owners making?
Oh, yeah. That's a good point. That's a good point.
When I came into the league, the max contract was $14 million a year. I got gray hair now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, the one guy I did not see on that list, LeBron James. What about him? Where is his money?
He is extension. It's in the bank. He's extension eligible. He is not extension eligible until next month. But obviously, he is watching very closely what the Lakers do. You're not going to hear us talking a whole lot about the Lakers. And they will sign guys, but we're not expecting impactful names. They've got a basically bargain bin shop. And so the real question is, will LeBron look at this Lakers team? He can extend for 2 years and $100 million. I mean, he's at the point where he's going to get $50 million a year if he extends. That is not anything to sneeze at. And so will he extend and commit to this Lakers team? Will he not extend because he's not sure he wants to commit to this Lakers team? Or will he let it go just to find out whether the Lakers can make maneuvering? So Russell Westbrook's contract is going to be expired after next year. If LeBron lets his contract expire, the Lakers could have cap space, and he could do what James Harden is doing, which is lower his salary to help the team. But we'll see.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm LeBron James. I sneezed out $100 million. I'm a billionaire. I'm a billionaire. Wendy, I'm a billionaire. I'm LeBron James. I'm not signing a two-year extension. I get that the money's there. But, like, you know, look, Bronny's coming up in the game. We've heard that talked about multiple times, him wanting to play with his son. And also, if I'm LeBron James, hey, I made a tangible move to try to get Russell Westbrook. It didn't work out year one. Let's see what happens in year two. And I need to see what moves Jenny Buss and Rob Pelinka are doing with this team that can keep us in contention to help me win another world championship. And until I see the right moves being made, I'll go year-by-year deal.
As Brian knows, earlier in LeBron's career, especially when he went back to Cleveland, as you said, J-Will, he signed short-term deals, right? 1 and 2 year deals. Why? To put pressure on the Cavs to keep making moves to make the team better. When he went to LA, what did he do? He signed a 4 year deal that locked him in there for a long time, and he sort of ceded a little bit of the control back to the team, right? So to J-Will's point, if he doesn't extend, that is one way for him to exert some control on the Lakers to say, all right, I'm watching to see what you're doing. Let's see where we're at.
I'm going to be honest, I will never sneeze at $50 million a year.
No.
I'm just trying to think hypothetically if I were LeBron James, what he would do.
But what I think is so interesting is this graphic right here. $129 million committed to three dudes. You got Malik Monk, who they want to bring back. Do they have enough money to even bring him back? What is it that they can do, Brian, to make this team better?
They can do this.
They can pray.
Looking at that list of that. Key free agents, that's a rough list.
Says all you need to know. If Malik Monk is your primary guy you need to bring back to your team, it's why they were a 33-win team. Yes, they had injuries, but they didn't have enough talent around those guys, and they don't have the flexibility to go out and get talent around those guys. That's why the Kyrie Irving, potential Hail Mary for them, that was their one get-out-of-jail-free card.
Right.
Now that seemingly is not there. They're really in a bind.
Are they wasting his final seasons?
I mean, are they wasting it? LeBron James put himself in this situation, too. I mean, there's culpability here for both.
He certainly wasn't opposed to trading for Russell Westbrook.
Yeah, so, like, my thing is, look, even if LeBron James, I think, plays at an MVP-type level, I still think you have a team that finishes middle of the pack in the Western Conference. It's unfortunate, but I don't see any moves that they could realistically make that will all of a sudden make me think that they could be contenders in the top three of the West.
They're going to go look for some athletic wing players. I mean, Juan Toscano Anderson, who was not tendered by the Warriors yesterday, he is going to be an unrestricted free agent. That's the guy they're looking at. Josh Jackson.
Wow, it's like who? I mean,
everybody's going to say the 12th guy in the defending champions. That's who we're talking about.
Unbelievable.
Like, buckle up, man.
That's it. Unbelievable that he's in this position, and now it's on L.A. to do something with nothing.
By the way, he's in a great position. I mean, the guy has won four championships, considered one of the greatest players of all time. I know that we get into
and
this
thing.
And
he's a millionaire.
Like,
pretty good. I think we get into it, though, because he's not satisfied. He wants a championship.
And Tom Brady's not satisfied.
True.
You know, like, I hear where we go with it, but still, like, put it into the overall context of his career. He did just win a championship.
He's driving his Ferrari back to.
I was going
to
say, I'll swap with him. I love being here, but I'll swap with him. It'd be okay.
There you go. What about his Ferrari?
I mean, he's driving his Ferrari or his Lamborghini or his Bentley back to Brentwood to his giant estate. I mean, he's okay.
Nice.
And they did raise a banner in L.A., so.
Yeah. That's like Jay Will's life.
Yeah.
The Ferrari, the Bentley. I don't know which one to do.
I'm going back to you guys.
He rides a bike over that bridge.
Take a look at this. Talking about doing some work. UFC 276 Saturday night. Las Vegas. Another stacked card. Israel Adesanya and Alexander Volkanovski defending their belts. The main card begins 10 Eastern on pay-per-view. Prelims, 8 Eastern on ESPN ABC, ESPN Deportes, and ESPN Plus. To order the main card in English and Spanish, go to ESPNplus.com/PPV. Coming up, who are some of the scariest quarterbacks in football to play against? One of our colleagues has a list, and there is a notable absence. We're talking about it next.
Hall of Fame shirt club list? Did you say shirt club and get up in the same sentence?
I just did.
It's morning TV, gentlemen.
Whoa, yeah. Well,
tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Back with you on Get Up in the NFL. Let's play a little game of better or worse, starting with Booger McFarland. Booger, will Carson Wentz be better or worse this season?
Well, as poor as he was last year, Ryan, he's really got no choice but to be better. The only picture that I have of Carson Wentz is him spinning around, throwing a ball over his head and getting picked off and going back in the end zone. Like, maybe the worst play of the football season from a quarterback. No disrespect to Kyler Murray and the play that he made. So, yeah, he's got no choice but to be better next year. And for the Washington Commanders, I hope he is.
Jeremy, will Justin Fields be better or worse this season?
Better. Justin Fields is going to be better. It might not show up in the stat sheet, but he'll make improvements for down the road. He's too talented not to. I spoke to some people with the Bears who said he's cleaned up his mechanics. He looks good throwing the ball. He's throwing on the move. Not a great supporting cast, but he can overcome that.
All right, Booger, will Mac Jones be better or worse this season?
Well, I think Mac is going to be better depending on who's calling the plays. Like, we haven't, we hadn't really figured out who's calling the plays up there in New England. But I think Mac Jones was the best quarterback of the rookie class last year. And you would think that as a player, you make your biggest jump from year one to year two. I expect Mac Jones to make that jump this season.
Okay, and that would be exciting for the Patriots. Now, speaking of quarterbacks, our colleague Keyshawn Johnson put together his list of the top five scariest quarterbacks in the NFL, the guys who keep you up at night just thinking about playing them. And check out this list. Lots of mainstays like Mahomes at 2, Josh Allen at 3, back-to-back MVP Aaron Rodgers at 4, got Lamar at number 1, Kyler at 5. Keyshawn, though, left somebody off that list that kind of kept us up at night. Jeremy, what's your reaction? But let me start with the guy who's off the list. Booger, there is no Tom Brady on this list. What is your reaction to that?
Well, Tom Brady shouldn't be on the list because if you understand what Key is saying from a football perspective, notice the commonality from all those guys. Those guys can move. They can make those unscripted plays. They can get out of the pocket. We know where Tom Brady is going to be. And from a football perspective, he's going to be right behind the center. He's going to have a clean pocket, and you know exactly where he's going to be. We call him an iron deer on the front lawn. And if you look at Key's list, it's the mobility of those guys that can make plays, the second reaction plays, they can get out of the pocket, they can scramble, they can throw the football on the run. That's the commonality of Key's list. So, yeah, I understand it from a defensive perspective. So if you look at it, Tom Brady should not be on that list.
That's a good point. I get it now. It's like the unpredictability factor in some ways. So, Jeremy, what's your reaction to Lamar Jackson being number one?
Yeah, my reaction is he's probably the scariest football player, not the scariest quarterback. There's still a lot of people around the league who don't see Lamar as a top five or even a top 10 passer. They feel like he can do it. Certainly the Ravens can pass the ball, but they major in the running game, minor in passing. So late in the season, in the playoffs, when it gets tight, it can be harder for them to get that done. Lamar Jackson ranks 17th over the last two seasons in pocket passing with a QBR of 56.7, according to our guy Hembo. So very good player, not the scariest quarterback.
Okay, and so Booker, you look at this list. I know you're getting down with the general sense of it, but is there a guy who should supplant Lamar at number one?
Yeah, I think it should be Josh Allen. To me, he's the scariest quarterback in football because of how big and how physical he is. At 6'5", 240-some pounds, he doesn't run away from you maybe the way Lamar Jackson does, but on third down, he can get 5, 10, 15 yards and get you a first down. And, oh, by the way, he may have one of the better arms in the National Football League as far as arm strength. He improved his accuracy. I think Josh Allen is going to be the National Football League MVP. I think the Buffalo Bills, if they're not in the Super Bowl this year, it's an issue not only for the Bills, but for Josh Allen, because I think they are ascending to take that next step. And I think he should be the scariest quarterback on anybody's list for the combination of arm strength, arm talent, and his ability to make plays in and out of the pocket.
Got a lot of confidence in these Bills, and for good reason. They are looking good to win it all this year. We'll see if they can actually do it. Guys, thank you so much. Let's turn to baseball and bring in Jessica Mendoza, because we're talking A's, Yankees, bottom one. Yankees down 3-0. Aaron Judge at the plate, and oh boy, gets it done again. His 29th of the year.
Yeah, and just absolutely crushing him. I mean, what he's been able to do playing this game right now, especially the amount of home runs. And this team, the hottest team in baseball, but between him and Giancarlo Stanton, the power. Watch this pitch. Look at where it's located. You're talking off the plate. And by the way, Stanton is like 3 feet off the plate himself. The power is ridiculous. And when those two homer, you can't beat them. I mean, there's no two bigger hitters in the lineup and what they've been able to produce.
I mean, it's incredible. And then top eight, same score. Miguel Castro in a jam against Christian Bethencourt gets him to pop out to shallow center. The Yankees take it. Another win for them. 5-3. They move to 22-5 in the month of June. And the Yankees are off to an historic start. You talk about this year for them. And it's all thanks to Aaron Judge. He's hit already 29 homers before July, the only player in franchise history to do it. Babe Ruth hit 30 before July 1st in both 1928 and 1930. And Judge can match that mark tonight with a homer, and he's on pace to hit 60 long shots, which would be more than Ruth hit in those two specific seasons. So, Jessica, why is Aaron Judge the best hitter on the planet right now?
You know, just watching his swing and how late he can get on pitches. He has the ability to let the ball travel super deep because of how strong he is. I pointed it out with Giancarlo Stanton, but watch this pitch. This is a curveball. He's late on 84 miles an hour on purpose because of the power. Anyone else hits this off their back leg, this is a shallow pop-up to right field, but not for Aaron Judge. He's able to have that power to right field, have the patience, and because of that, his barrel's in the zone longer. Then you fast forward to what he did and be able to pull the ball. Now he can be able to have power not only late off the back leg, but then off middle to front leg. And this is where not only do you see the 29 home runs, but also close to a 300 batting average because of that bat path, the ability to be patient, wait, but also be able to get the barrel out on pretty much any pitch he wants to hit.
Wow, great description of how he's just been getting it done this year. So let's play a little game of over-under if we can. Over-under, 116 wins for the Yankees. That would be a single season record.
I got under. And the reason is, I mean, you go back to 2001 where the record is in the Seattle Mariners. And I'm not saying the Yankees aren't that good, but what did the Mariners do in that season in 2001? diddly squat in the postseason. And when you look at Aaron Boone and how he's going to manage this team, it's not about getting to 116-plus wins. It's about October. So I'm picking the under because how they're going to manage heading into the postseason.
Okay, so over under 61 homers. Aaron Judge.
I've got the under on this one, too. And as amazing as he has been to me, the biggest thing for him has been also the batting average. Yes, he's going to have the power, and that's what we're talking about right now early in the season. But fast forward to second half, when they are trying to be able to win games, to be able to be that successful team in October, he's also going to be able to hit average and not just the long ball.
Okay, so here's a big one for you. Over under $426.5 million contract for Judge's next contract. That's what Mike Trout got.
I'm going over. And this one is not only are teams paying more and more. And I'm not saying Aaron Judge is necessarily a better player overall than Mike Trout. But let's be real. He's the face of the game. What Aaron Judge brings, and we just talked about all the things offensively, but also Major League Baseball, the marketing. I mean, if you're going to pick one player that's the face, it's Aaron Judge.
Okay, the big question will be, are the Yankees going to go over with him? So before we let you go, we wanted to show you a little bit of eye candy. Check this out. Josh Naylor hitting a walk-off homer against the Twins. And my favorite part, so here's the walk-off. But then my favorite part, here, just wait for it. So excited, he headbutts his helmeted manager, Terry Francona. Oh! Wow,
yes.
Jess!
Did you see how Terry's ready for it, by the way? Just like, head down, bring it, let's go.
I love how he had the helmet ready to go. That's the best part. Took it off right after. Jess, always good to see you. You killed it today. Appreciate it.
Let's go.
So here's our Sunday night. Yeah, here's our Sunday night baseball matchup. The Cardinals visit the Phillies. 7 Eastern on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and ESPN Radio. Our coverage begins at 6 Eastern with baseball tonight, Sunday night countdown. And Michael Kay and A-Rod had their K-Rod presentation on ESPN2. Well, coming up, James Harden makes a huge decision about his future in Philly. Did that decision make the Sixers contenders to win a title? We're talking about that next on Get Up.